Why do I do the Vinnie Eastwood show? It's for purely selfish purposes. You know, I have no illusion. I'm not, you know, spending all my time editing and interviewing people who are really hurt, interviewing people who have, like, an awful lot of knowledge that the authorities don't want people to know, giving them empathy and a chance to get their stories on the record. Yeah, I don't do that for them or for the audience's benefit at all. I do it for my benefit. Right. Now that you know why we're in this, why would somebody do that, and what kind of selfish, terrible, horrible motivations could they possibly have? And I think it's aggrandizement. Okay? I want to be seen as somebody who's a good person, because deep down, in fact, only just beneath the surface, I believe myself to be a very bad person who's very troubled. And in order to stop myself from getting worse, I try to commit a lot of good deeds that help a lot of people, so that I will appear to be something that I'm not. A good person who cares about those around them, when really, I only care about myself. I only want to fulfill my needs. My needs is to explore shit, to experience things, to feel pain and anguish and suffering that those experiences bring, without having to experience it myself. There are so many people in this world that are damaged because of terrible things that have happened to them. And that's why I talk to those people, because I'm one of the people who's had some damaging shit happen to them. And what would I want? I'd want somebody to hear me out. I'd want to not have to fucking bottle it up. I'd want to be able to express myself and feel as though I can trust the person that I'm talking to would not use that information against me. That's what I'd like. And that's how I run my show. Everybody else in this movement, I don't know what their motivation is. I've just given you mine. But I just want to be real with people. That's it. I want to talk about the most exciting, the most passionate things that people can come up with. Anything less than a really deep conversation is not worth my time. I get bored. My mind starts to drift. I go off doing off other things. I can't hack it. I can't hack monotony. I can't hack normal people. I can't hack people complaining about their jobs. I can't hack people complaining about how their family treats them or anything like that. Look, it's not rocket science. If you're talking a whole bunch of crazy conspiracy shit after having several thousand hours of crazy conspiracy shit fucking documentary input without actually putting into practice any of the things in the documentary format in your life, you're going to really start pissing off everybody around you with how fucking self-righteous and completely inexperienced you are with any of the things which you believe very fervently. And it's really annoying and really fucking boring. And I wish that the truth movement wasn't full of these people, but it is. I used to be one of these people, the newly awakened, when you're really fucking angry at everything. But you're mostly angry about the fact that nobody believes you when you tell them the shit that's unbelievable. You know, you forget that you actually got along with your family once upon a time, you know, and you didn't start to be seen as crazy or anything like that. It's because, hey, look, as soon as you become zealotous and a true believer, you become a cultist. Simple as that. You're just a mind-controlled cultist. You sit there and go, all right, this is my new belief structure. It's replacing my old belief structure. And from now on, nothing that I'm going to be doing in my life is going to be untrue or misinterpreted or any shit like that. You know, that's the deal. just fucking naivete. This is my, I don't know, what happened to me 10 years ago, I think, round about, more than 10 years ago now, in 2004, 2005, I had that really, really bad kind of traumatic wake-up call, got busted by the cops, going to go to jail for up to 8 years, got off for 300 hours community service, it took me 6 months to work off, a couple of days a week on a freaking thing, oh my god, lost my girlfriend, lost my friends, lost all my possessions, lost the respect of my family, and lost the ability to travel, like, according to the laws, basically forever, you know? All that just gone in a month. Right, that's about how long it takes for the justice system to go up. Now, when your existence is hanging in the balance for that long a period of time, you go into a state of shock, all right? I went into a state of shock, essentially, for more or less a month. That kind of tension and trauma that was inflicted upon me because I was selling weed to people who wanted it, a plant that's never killed anybody in 10,000 years of recorded yeast. That was worth traumatizing me for life. That was when I had my first panic attack. Mate, it took me years just to get back on my feet. And then a really shitty flatmate who was like a full-on like racist Nazi scumbag. People stealing my shit. Thousands upon thousands of bucks, you know. It's like getting put back to square one. Two, three times in a row. Kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And then going through university and realizing that's bullshit. And then getting put to, back on the starters on that. Kaboom. And then work turns out to be a bunch of psychopaths who don't appreciate me. Kaboom. And two more jobs just like that. Boom, boom. Just keep getting betrayed and fucked over by every single fucking authority that I'd ever trusted. Every person in a position of authority that I had ever really trusted had betrayed me. All right? And that's because if someone's in a position of authority, rather than somebody who just commands respect via their character and their actions, somebody you trust because of who they are, not what title they have. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about there. Those are the positions of authority that you should be able to count on. But the problem is, I didn't see a way out. I didn't see that there was a way for the world to work anymore with me in it. And I'm not, didn't think suicide. No. Got over that a while ago. Brother told me if you ever commit suicide, I won't come to the funeral, but I will come afterwards and piss on your grave for the fucking pain that you've caused me and the entire family and everybody that even known you. You know, that kind of shit. And it's like, oh, okay. Yep. Don't really think about that anymore. I had a really rough childhood. I was fat. Fuck. Getting hit by my dad and everything. It's just been one fucking knock to the head from one to the other, to the other, to the other. Right? And all of these things kind of culminated at some point when I rang my friend John Eisen and said to him, bro, I think I need to quit my job. And he goes, does it feel right? Go, yeah, it does. And I went home, got my fucking $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers. Got a fridge. Damn, we needed a good fridge. And we got the dented one, you know, half price, mate. And this whole kind of wake up process while I was going through this. I was listening to a shitload of Alex Jones, watching a shitload of documentaries, like maybe up to two documentaries a day for about 6 months. That'll fuck with your head sideways. All right? Sideways. You turn into a radically different person because you've got so much information overload, compounded by all the terrible things that have happened to you before, and suddenly you've got an explanation for why everything is the way it is, and you jump to all these conclusions. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the Alex Jones of the fucking South Pacific or New Zealand or whatever the fuck. I want Alex Jones to be known as the Vinnie Eastwood of America, but I wanted this shit. This fucking scumbaggery shit. All the fucking stupid cunts I used to work with. All the fucking vile, pathetic people I went to school with. All the fucking people in positions of authority who betrayed my trust and fucked my life up. All the laws and all of the legislation and all of the fucking endless debating and all of the fucking bullshit media coverage, etc., etc. If you start thinking about what's wrong with the world, you'll never fucking stop. I never fucking stopped. Just sat there fucking seething on this shit. It fucking took over me. Took over my brain. I was listening to too much fucking Alex Jones. Listen to it on repeat sometimes, you know? Just listen to a whole hour show, 3 hour show, and then just fucking listen to it all the way fucking through again while I'm doing other shit on the computer. You know, it's just fucking unbelievable amount of fucking fear. You know? That was what I kind of needed, I think, at the time. And I still have InfoWars stickers on my car, and I'm going to be putting even more on them. Why? Because people need to wake the fuck up. You ain't going to wake up by listening to Vinnie Eastwood. It's not possible, okay? If you're already awakened, then start listening to Vinnie Eastwood. You'll realize how unawakened you were to fucking begin with listening to Alex Jones. All right, he's the gateway drug of the truth movement, and you need to get that shit in your veins if you haven't heard of him already. He will give you the motivation. He will give you extra amounts of fear about shit that's happening right now, far away from you, that you can't do shit about 24 hours a day. Okay, this is just a fucking nightmare of a cunt. And that's why I love it. Now, I was so jealous, I think. I'm very, very fucking jealous of Alex Jones. And then I realized that I'm younger than he is, and he started maybe 10 years before I did. Ish. Plus, he's in fucking Austin, Texas, in the middle of fucking We Love Guns and We Love the Bible fucking Bible Belt goddamn dust bowl shit. Oh, God. Just the backwardness. The backwardness of these fucking people. And I'm like, this guy's the voice of the truth movement. Just aggressive. Overly emotional. Holy shit. More, you know, we're more alike than we might seem, but but I don't want to make people feel afraid of shit. I want to tell people jokes and have them laugh about all the terrible shit that's going on. Because that was the thing that I got occasionally, very occasionally, from Alex Jones, where I'd actually laugh out loud, right? As some kind of relief. But I'd never be into hysterics, you know? Just thinking about a particular joke. That's why I like Bill Hicks and George Carlin. The people who not only can make you laugh, but keep you laughing just so hard that it hurts. I love that shit. Wouldn't it be good if you could have a mixture of the two, but with a whole lot of other stuff taken out of it? That was kind of like the way that I wanted to do the show. What's it all about? The fucking world and the reptilians and the UFOs and the fucking... God damn it. It's impossible to list off the entire gamut of shit that I know shit about. I don't know all... I don't know anything very well, but I know a hell of a lot about a hell of a lot of really, really interesting shit. And I think that's why I've managed to keep a sense of humor and not been so swept up with everybody's obsession with daily headlines. You know? Daily headlines don't seem to make anything but anger for me, right? Every time I pick up a fucking newspaper or anything, all I see is the fucking conspiracy and how it's got to be exposed, and I get angry all over again, all right? I don't want that anger in my life, bro. There's too much of it. It's better to just have a really interesting conversation with a very interesting gun, have a few laughs, and have that conversation recorded and archived for posterity. You know? Isn't that a better approach than giving people some kind of emergency headline? Daily something something. Oh, the New World Order this and the New World Order that. It's just fucking repetitive. And if you're intelligent enough, you'll start to see it, right? If you think about religion, if you think about cults, if you think about mainstream media, if you think about manipulation techniques and how people just grab your attention and how somebody grabbing your attention ain't necessarily a good thing if they're just giving you a whole bunch of useless factoids by which you can't do anything about, right? If I mention there's a protest against Monsanto this weekend, will you turn up if you're in the United States and the protests in New Zealand? No, you're not. So I don't mention any of that shit on my radio shows. It's just about general knowledge, man. It's about people of an intellectual musicianship having a jam, right? That's how I like to see it. There's just too much time spent on information gathering and not enough time spent on information processing. We don't know what we know. We think we know, but we don't. We're all fucking stupid to a large degree, and we're so stupid that we can't see. Because I've just kind of, I don't know, it felt like sort of over it. How, whenever I put up a 2-hour show, somebody will leave a comment, usually without watching the show, that is, you know, degrading or overly simplistic or just fucking rude, stupid, accusatory. There's all sorts of fucking shit. It's just mass negativity. Right? That's what I think the human race has been infected with. Really, just absolutely infected with it. Everybody's pissed off. Particularly about things that make their beliefs irrelevant. You know, it's like, you can't tell people that are in the Christmas industry that there is no Santa Claus. They know. But they don't care. Because Christmas is still good business. You can still sell Santa costumes, even though the general public believes it doesn't fucking exist. Even though there's a really big suspicion that it's just an excuse for the corporations that own society to sell a fuckload more product over a particular period. and then reduce the prices on the fuckloads of product that they imported and sell them directly after that period, like on the Boxing Day sales and shit like that. And it's like, fuck, we're being played. All of us, even the people who know that we're being played, take advantage of that shit. I do. You know, people are just like, oh, you're a hypocrite or whatever. And it's like, of course I'm a fucking hypocrite. Hypocrisy is superfluous, right? History makes hypocrites of us all. Nobody knows everything. You could always be wrong. If you do what you think is right, which is like trying not to hurt people and be a dick, maybe you're onto something. But other than that, there is a mass outcrying from people all over the world for something to save them. And at the same time, a massive outpouring of anger at the wrong people. It just boggles my fucking mind. Because I try, unlike a lot of people, to think about how other people think. All right, how does the world think? How do people in Malaysia think? What about those in India or Mexico or Lima in fucking Peru, right? There is a multitude of people, streets, houses, suburbs, cities, countries, climates, philosophies, religions, states, media, and trade, all nexusing up and in some way influencing the way everybody's thinking about everything. Right? That's an interesting discovery, isn't it? Something is influencing the way everybody thinks about everything all the time. As soon as you start thinking about it, right? How big is that idea? How big is this fucking planet? How many people are in it? You don't know, do you? I don't. These aren't things that you can fucking fact check either. This is a amount of knowledge that is literally unknowable because the database is too fucking huge for a single human being. They say that a monk can spend like 40 years or some shit like that in order to use his mind in order to move a chair. And then somebody else would say, I'd rather just get the fuck off my couch and just move the chair. You know, there's two are very valid arguments for a way of doing it. And it's just about preference. Right? And I'm getting fucking sick of explaining this to people over and over and over and over again. If you don't feel good about your current situation, it's not good for you and you need to change it. Alright? If you don't feel fulfilled, if you don't feel joy, what brings you joy? And if you don't know, it means that your entire fucking existence has been a lie. Even the existence you think you're living right now. The perfectly justifiable, I've got bills to pay because I need to do this and such fucking bullshit. You're afraid. I was afraid, but I realized I had no choice. That was really helpful, actually, to be so fucking traumatized and so relentlessly disappointed with the prospect of education and employment simultaneously. What is there left for somebody in a world where they are unable to be employed and unable to go to an educational institution to get a higher education? Okay? What the fuck do you do? You can't do anything according to conventional wisdom. Which is why I don't subscribe to conventional wisdom. Because as far as I'm concerned, conventional wisdom has fucked my life up. It's fucked your life up. It's fucked everybody's fucking life up, hasn't it? Hasn't it? The conventional way of looking at things. Well, we just do that, and this leads on to that. And see, no. You just cut the knot. Right? It's the story of Alexander the Great, the Gordian Knot. It was said to be a knot of rope. So tricky, so wound up, that it was said that the man who unraveled that knot would rule all of Asia. Alexander says, "Oh yeah? So that's the deal. I cut this knot and I can get to rule you all." And they're like, "Yep." And he's like, "All right." Takes out his sword. All right. Lateral thinking. Don't fucking subscribe to people's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Just genius is the ability to, what was it in that movie, Hollow Man? Genius was the ability to go from A to D without needing the B and C. All right? Some people still need the B and C. Maybe it's impossible for everybody to be a genius. Maybe people are not smart enough yet to understand this. I wasn't smart enough to understand it until I lived through it and had to do it. And I didn't do it because I understood it. I did it because I thought I had no choice. I still think I have no choice. I feel trapped. All right? Do you imagine what it's like being trapped as an activist media figure in a country where all the alternative media is either bought off or dead, or blindsided by one particular belief structure, except you? To know that all the alternative media don't have the equipment, the skill, the writing ability, or the radio fucking acumen to do any of the things that you can do, to anywhere near the level that you can do them. And you'd be the only fucking one in the goddamn hemisphere that can do it. That's how fucking skilled I am. That's how fucking good I am. Do you have any idea how far I would have gotten in the corporate world? My last paycheck was fucking like 26 or 27 grand or some shit. I wasn't even 24. I could be fucking rich. Rich as shit. I'm fucking believably wealthy. But what do I have? I'm figuratively chained to a desk. Chained to a desk. That's how I feel it. I feel like an indentured servant. I've got debts that I can't pay off because I can't fucking work. You know? Well, that's a fucker, isn't it? I don't know how to do things the way other people do them. I can only do things now my own way. That's why I don't share other people's, you know, devotion to groups, their devotion to a certain political ideology, certain religions, certain philosophies, such and blah, blah, blah. These people just fucking bore me. They are wasting every fabric of their being. And I don't fucking care. I seriously don't fucking care anymore. Whatever your belief is that you want to push onto other people, you know, whatever your fucking excuse is, I tolerate other people having different beliefs to me. Look, that's just the look, tolerating people who have different beliefs is a really, really good thing, because variation is fucking important. Really fucking important. It's like in Ghost in the Shell, for example. If you over-specialize, you breed in weakness. It's slow death. So when people start to specialize in the entire belief structure of their life, and in fact adopt an entire belief structure, that just boggles my fucking mind. I can't gel with that. I've got my own journey. I've got thousands of teachers. I've discovered fucking amazing things. And I have a profound sense of connection to a greater entity than myself. Right? And it's probably narcissism, which is why I don't try to push that personal connection on other people. It's the whole point about it being a personal connection. You can't. Right? Sick of it. People fucking knocking on doors. It's like, I used to be a door-to-door salesman. I know a door-to-door salesman when I fucking see one, because it's like looking in a mirror. Oh my God. This person's a cunt. They look like me. just this horrible, horrible sensation overcomes me. Just soulless, vapid, like literally selling the ideas or products of somebody else for money. Right? Ever been to church? Ever seen a collection plate go around? Ever heard of a tithe? Ever heard of taxation? It's the fucking same thing, man. Don't you reckon this is the fucking stupidest thing in the world? To get forcibly taxed like up 30, or if you compound all the other different taxes and everything and the interest payments, etc. on that shit, about maybe 60% of your income, and then give 10% of it to a tax-free organization. Oh my God. The stupidity of it. All right. I've been struggling and fearful to say this because I know the repercussions will be massive, but I just get the distinct impression that people who have really strong religious beliefs are fucking stupid sometimes. Like really, really fucking stupid. And the retorts that I get from these really fucking stupid people about why they're not stupid seem like really stupid excuses to me. It just keeps compounding and reaffirming and fucking unbelievable, man. All right. It's really quite frustrating to feel like you're in a sea of stupid people that are so fucking stupid that they have no fucking idea how fucking stupid they are. I can't believe it. Oh my God. Oh my God. The stupidity of other people. Dear God. Dear God. If there is a prayer that could be uttered to get them out of your fucking life, I could assure you many, many a cunt has tried to find it and died trying, okay? Alright, so what do you do with the things that really fucking irritate you, that you hate, right? And it's in your daily life. You spend your daily life doing something about it, okay? That was my realization. I needed to do something about it. I was really, really tired of hearing about it and not actually affecting how it goes about, right? And a lot of people accuse me of not actually accomplishing anything doing what I'm doing. Now, first of all, 3D accomplishments, you know, they're a dime a dozen. Any cunt can do that. Women don't have this problem. They don't need a whole bunch of material accomplishments and everything, because they can have this thing called children, which can go out and accomplish all sorts of things. And their job becomes taking care of those kids and making sure they don't grow up to be cunts like most of the rest of the people out there. All right, maybe... Am I being cynical in thinking that there is a large proportion of the population, like in the high 40s maybe percentile of just straight cunts? You know? That's really cynical, isn't it? About 50% of the population, one out of every two people is a cunt that I don't really want anything to do with. Right? And then when you think about it, maybe I'm being too modest. I mean, seriously, maybe it's a different thing that notices cunts in you, you know? Like, which part of you recognizes that you're talking to a cunt? And which part of you recognizes that you're talking to a good cunt? It's pretty hard to tell, isn't it? Sometimes. Good cunts give off an aura, right? They actually feel like they're pleasant to be around and they've got energy and stuff like that. And they don't suck your energy by talking to you. All right? That's how you know. If you feel energized because you're having a conversation with someone and that conversation's going back and forth and there's an energy transfer there and it builds, like, it's not stagnant. It starts getting bigger as you keep talking. It starts getting more exciting. And afterwards, after it's all over, unfortunately, that was that. You got to have that one experience. It was nice, wasn't it? But it's over now, right? I get that experience every time I have a guest on the show, right? Every time. Unless they're a cunt. I can tell you, bro, there have been some cunts on the show. Like, cunts who say shit that is just totally unfucking believable. Totally unfucking believable. It's because they're liars and psychopaths. Fuck. You know? They infiltrate. They get famous and they start mimicking somebody, really. They mimic somebody who's really good at what they do. Start making up a whole bunch of fantastic lies. Get a huge following. And Bob's your uncle. They wind up on the show sooner or later. And so the bullshit is mixed in with the real shit. Isn't that interesting? Now, I wonder, because it'd be interesting to go back and listen to my archives of the ones that I think are full of shit and notice how different my behavior is from the ones that I think are really onto it. You know? Do a little bit of that self-reflection. Can I even recognize a cunt when I see it? I don't know. If it's an intellectual thing, it's definitely it's a gut feeling. Really, isn't it? And also, the things that people say often give them away. You know, for example, if you're sitting around a table with somebody and they start calling black people niggers, like, and not in the way that you would, you know, call a black person that is your friend, my nigga. You know, not in that jovial sort of manner, like, but I don't trust that nigga. You know, that kind of way. Then you go, this guy's a cunt. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you very much. Recognized him. Panned him off. And filed for consideration later. If that cunt comes back into my life, I'll not answer that call. I won't accept that invite. No. No, thank you, bro. No, I'm sorry. I'm too busy. I love that word, busy. It's fucking great, isn't it? You ever use this word? Everybody's used this word. I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Because you've just got this cunt who won't fuck off. They want something from you. You ever notice that? It's like, women are like cunts. And the fact that they always want something from you. You know? It might be sexual. It might be affectionate. It might be money. It might be that she just wants you to talk to her. And treat her like a princess. You know? Simple things like that. Men, on the other hand, I don't know. Do we have desires on that realm? as well, you know? Can I fuck it? Can I eat it? Do I kill it? You know, these very, it's very quite simple being a man, you know? You know, there you go, your life's sussed. Now, can't fuck it. Can't eat it. Guess I'm gonna have to kill it. Wham! You know? And that's why the missus always points out the big spiders that she's afraid to squish. You know? It's like, ugh. Looks like you're in need of something that can fuck, kill, and eat things, eh? Coming right up. I mean, it's not that difficult being a guy, you know. We got the fucking sweeter end of the deal, even though we're the weaker sex. All right, and this thing goes like, we're stronger and we're faster. Right. In general, guys are stronger, they're faster, they're more logical, you know, things like that. And that's why we got it easy. Do you know it's really, really not very easy? Having to use sex and cuteness to prevent yourself from getting beaten up. All right? Why do you think the women are so cute? Why do you think they're so fucking hot? It's because we'd kill them if they weren't. Because we can't fuck them. But the whole philosophy of the human race, it just seems to rest on a very, very delicate little balancing act, right? And this balancing act is described thusly. If I don't keep doing exactly what I'm doing, I'm fucked. I mean, that's your life. You're born into it. What are you going to do now? Oh, I've got to go to school. How long do I have to go to that for? Well, you have to keep doing it until they say that you're out. And if you don't keep doing it, then you're fucked. All right, that's really motivational. Do they teach me things that'll be useful later in life beyond the reading and calculation which got taught to me at home anyway? Nah. And how long do I have to spend here? Well, most of your formative years. And will I be subjected to the trauma-based mind control tactics of a central authority figure, ostracizing outsiders, collective punishment, sleep deprivation by getting up early and going to this mind control institution that's going to insert state propaganda into my head for the entirety of my formative years, is it? Yep. Okay. I'm going to thoroughly not enjoy this. And sure enough, I didn't fucking enjoy it. Nobody fucking does. They go, oh, high school was great. I had great friends and my pussy and so on. Yeah, but dude, later on in life, you realize that those were the best years of your life. Doesn't that suck? That after you've grown pubes and gotten a job, the best shit is behind you and it just all fucking downhill from here? You fucking loser, mate. What the fuck is the point? Right? I mean, I really didn't like school because I got fucking teased by everybody. And in one case, there were like 32 kids in the class. And I think 30 of the kids. Oh, nah, that's too much. That's too much to say. Maybe about 29 of the kids would give me shit pretty much all day. All right. And the two that didn't weren't even my friends. Didn't even have a friend in my classroom. This is when I was fucking 11 years old. Form 1. Fuck me. St. Peter's College. Ugh. Catholic boys' school. Religious education. It's like, what the... Isn't religion and education kind of the opposite thing that you're teaching? Isn't education supposed to be about discerning fact from fiction and not having a whole bunch of beliefs that are based on lies that the Romans carved up? Can? No? No? See? You just don't get any choice. From fucking day one. It just... There's no choices that are given to you. I'd rather be given two simple choices, one a good one that I like, one a bad one that I don't like, and be happy with my decision. But instead, I've got about 26 decisions that I don't like. Hey, fuck. You can learn about English, you can learn about geography. You know, I liked a whole bunch of subjects. I liked history, I liked geography, didn't really like English for some reason, even though I was better at it than a lot of people. Really didn't like maths, you know? Didn't fucking care for religious education, didn't like science, and kind of liked drama a bit. Didn't really like the music so much. Although, you know, now it would have been nice if I'd had a fucking microphone at the time in music class. Fuck yeah. I'm going to beatbox the shit out of that motherfucker. And I think this is what evolution is about, right? You get through a process of getting older. Old enough until you fucking have productive breeding age, essentially. And then you pass down all the knowledge that's in your DNA down to the poor cunt that comes out of your fruit of your loins, right? And then after, or while that kid's growing up, if you haven't unlearned all the bullshit that's been taught to you during your formative years and unteach that to your offspring's going to wind up exactly like you. All right? Drug addicts whose children become drug addicts. You know? Adulterers whose children become divorcees. You know? It's pretty straightforward. If you imprint on a parent, and that's why it's such a fucking huge responsibility, and because such a fucking huge amount of society is geared towards people not being responsible for themselves or anything else that goes on in the world, really, like really.
Do I have to be responsible for anything?
No.
Oh, yay.
Now I can understand that, because you get a lot of free time, right? Something really weird happening with me and my wife recently is that we will be sitting there at our computers and just bored. And so we do something neither of us predict, you know, just hang out in the lounge and talking to each other, you know, talking for hours. Because we're just so bored with the available entertainment that there is to distract ourselves from how much life sucks. Like, that's how bad it is. Now, isn't that great, though? How speaking to my wife is actually more entertaining and more fulfilling than watching another movie or a TV show or freaking playing a game or whatever. You know? I'm in front of a computer all the time for work, but and the problem is that's where a lot of my downtime and entertainment is spent too, just staring at a screen. That's why I don't have a cell phone that's like a proper smartphone, and why I haven't replaced mine for frickin' ages, even though the screen's busted a little bit, you know? Just don't give a fuck when I'm out. It's just like, oh, I'm out, thank God, I don't have to be in front of a fucking screen. Oh, that's good. All right. Let's do the music on the phone on and just put them... All right. It's just like, fuck. It's another thing. We're just totally saturated with media, entertainments, and all these choices. And there's a very interesting experiment that was done one time with some kids, and they had a couple of chocolates for them to select from. And the first group of kids had two different chocolates they could have selected from. And they had to choose one. And then rate how satisfied out of 10 that they were with their choice. And the second group of kids had 40 different chocolates that they could choose from, but they could only choose one. And then had to rate how satisfied they were with their choice. And they found out through the results that the kids who had a lot less choice were a lot more satisfied with the choices they made, right? Maybe that's why I kind of felt satisfied with the choice that I made to leave the workforce and become a truther and expose scumbaggery and help humanity, help the activists, all these, people who fucking toil and tire and fucking, oh my God. Just so much fucking pain and suffering out there, bro. It's been inflicted on so many people. It's just horrible. And that's something that really bugs me a lot of the time, is that when I'm not got a screen in front of me, I'm not entertained, and the first thing that comes to my mind is regrets. Man, that's a pain in the ass. Soon as your mind starts to quiet, you said that thing to that chick that made her not want to fuck you. Boom! Oh, God! Fuck, why did I say that? Oh. And then you have a moment of clarity and you just want to think about it. And you admitted that the dope was yours to the cops. Oh, fuck! God, why did I do that? Oh, shit. Oh, God. Then you try to, like, calm it down a little bit, and you're like, and I got hit by my dad, and now it fucked me up for life. Jesus! Isn't that a real cunty bitch? To actually have no respite from all the bad things that have happened to you. You don't sit there and randomly think up and remember these really nice good times and stuff like that that happened to you, do you? Do you? Shit has to remind you of it. Hey, bro, you remember that time we da-da-da-da? It's the same thing that fucking stoners do. Every time, what was it Dave Chappelle said? Every time a white person gets high, they start telling you stories about other times that they got high. It's fucking true, man. You see that shit all the time. It's because memories are brainwaves. Right, and brainwaves get stimulated when you see shit, touch shit, smell shit, get reminded of shit, right? And then the brainwave goes zoomf and it reminds you. Okay, they're not like stored in a part of the brain or something like that. It's through interacting with other shit, the shit that you fucking remember comes up again. Right? Memory is a real tricky one like that, and that's why all the things that you regret sneak up on you, and all the things that you really, really love and enjoyed seem to fade away and never return unless somebody reminds you. And that is a sad existence. It's a really, really heavy thing to take, to realize that the reason your memory is structured this way is because when you get badly hurt by an animal, you remember very vividly all and everything, all details, the whole thing. Run through your mind backwards, isn't it? You ever been hit by somebody or assaulted or had your shit taken by somebody wielding a weapon or whatever like that, you know? That kind of shit. It's very, very tough, and that's the reason why it keeps you alive. But now, life ain't that dangerous. You know what's real fucking dangerous? All the stuff that your brain tells you is good. Sugar, salt, fat, lust, you know? We've become so easily manipulated by what they call Madison Avenue. I don't really even like that term. I didn't even know if there is a term. You know, corporate media, mainstream media, prostitutes, hornalists, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Just cunts, all right? And it's time that we just tell them, look, bro, I know that you really, really love your job and all of that kind of stuff. But you're a cunt, and I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Right? But don't tell them that. Just stop listening to them. I don't want to give anybody advice, right? Because what works for one may not work for another. I get thousands, fucking hundreds, goodness knows how many people always contacting me all the fucking time, asking me shit, wanting me to help them with shit, doing all sorts of fucking, like, trying to inform me about this and wanting to come on my show and blah, blah, blah. It's like, fuck off. Fuck off. I'm on holiday, bro. Fuck off. Just fuck off. Nearly have a fucking mental breakdown with the amount of people that are fucking clamoring up trying to fucking ask me for help. You know, it's like, dude, I just spent fucking 6 solid months of what did I do? It's uploaded since January 4th. It's now fucking October 13th. Well, that's lucky. Uploaded 106 videos. 106. All right. And a lot of those are fucking 2-hour videos, proper shows and shit. I've put in a lot of work, man. Really. A hell of a lot of work. And almost all of it is for free. And when I say almost, I mean all of it. I mean, fuck. Nobody's like paying me, you know, just here, yeah, do this job for me or anything like that. I get fucking like freaked out if people offer me money in exchange for tasks and goods and services and shit like that. You know? Unless I already know them, like, very well. And I'm just helping them out as I would ordinarily, but they're just giving me something regardless. You know? If there's no actual expectation, if there's no actual transaction. All right? It's friends doing things for each other. And that's how I like to do it. Because I can't handle corporate bullshit. You know, I can't even fucking pick up a phone now and call someone with a business-related or social-related fucking thing, right? There always has to be a purpose to my call. Like, I actually want to do something. I want to talk to them about something specific or whatever. But it can't be, I want to call this person so I can make a deal and make some money. All right? I did that for fucking years. And it broke me. It broke my ability to do it. I could teach someone to sell like a motherfucker. I can do it. Or could, back in the day. But no longer. I can't sell it unless I believe in it. And I can't sell it if I'm being paid to sell it. Because being paid to sell something sounds to me like you don't fucking really believe in it. Isn't it? I've put up this fucking protective circle around myself that is starting to turn into an Iron Maiden. You ever done that? You ever started to push away the things that really badly traumatize you and hold other things closer and then just go, fuck, I've built my own prison, you know? And that's where I am at this stage in my life, I feel. Like, I've built my own fucking prison, bro. Like, I'm sitting in it and it's got nice Apple, you know, products and a GoPro and some microphone stands and gear and whatnot. But it's just like, what am I doing this for? You know, I have to work so fucking hard and don't get fucking paid and I don't know. See, that's the thing. I'm at a great transition period in my life. Because I don't know what I'm doing anymore. You know, I thought I did. But I've never been in a job for this long. Let's just say, as soon as I become number one at something, I become disinterested. I've achieved everything I can achieve at that point. And that's where I am with the Vinny Eastwood show. I'm the best interviewer in the world. Like, no, you think I'm being arrogant? Huh? No. I'm being deadly fucking serious. 5-6 years of interviews, in depth, 1 or 2 hour interviews, starting off on the street with activists, talking to them for extended periods of time, finding out what makes absolutely everybody fucking tick and be able to pull on those threads exactly when they need to be pulled on to tell a joke at the exact right time, to offer a story of infliction, a moment of pause. These things are not something you can just pick up. You either have this gift or you simply do not. Right? You go and you listen to any person who you think is a really, really great guest. Okay? And you go listen to the interviews that guest does on 10, 20, 30 different radio shows. Whatever. However many you can find. And then listen to the episode that they did on the Vinnie Eastwood show. It's not only noticeably different, it's markedly better, and it's much more enjoyable, and you can even feel the effect of listening to the episode of the Vinnie Eastwood show long after you've heard it. Okay? Shit changes in your life when you listen to this show. Fucking listen to the show. Fucking listen to the show. Siri fucking Isley fucking listen to the fucking show. God damn it. Look, let me just explain to you what you're getting. For free. You are getting the most in-depth, emotionally open, compassionate, intelligent, witty, and brilliant talks with some of the most interesting people on the planet today, in a very closed, personal, off-the-cuff, totally unrehearsed, absolutely real way. You feel like you're listening to two real people. It hasn't been manufactured or doctored. It hasn't been constructed in a way to make you listen longer. It doesn't get interrupted by commercial breaks. This is the best fucking show in the world. Make no mistake. Keep listening. If you go to the homepage and just say, look, I'm going to start listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show for a week and I'm going to see how I feel. You will feel different. You listen to 5 shows in 1 week. Whoof! You say, okay, I've done a week of the Vinnie Eastwood show. Let's do a month. And you come up with at the end of like 4 or 5 weeks and you've listened to 20, 25 different shows. And you, whoa. The entire world is starting to collapse. Like I thought I was a truther and that I knew about all sorts of interesting shit, but this is fucking blowing my mind. And then you say, what if I fucking listen to a whole year of the Vinnie Eastwood show? You won't be the same person anymore. 1 year. I guarantee you give me 1 year. 1 year of your life. You've got many. You've lived many already. 1 year of your life. Listening to a show nearly every day. Maybe 2 in a day at some times. You will have immense benefit in your life. The fucking knowledge that has been dispensed on this show with all the episodes, the amount of stories that have been told from fucking first-hand sources, educated people, doctors, lawyers, people who are trailblazers, authors, fucking, oh my god. You ever had a conversation with somebody that you knew was more intelligent than you straight off the bat? You know, you just, whoa. Right, that was what it was like for me for years, like 5-6 years I've been doing this shit, man, talking to people who are smarter than me, and now I am changed. I am better in every way that one person can be. And if you listen to the show, if you do me the honor of entertaining you for 1 year of your life, you won't need to thank me. Because then you will stop listening. Right? That's the ultimate goal here, is to get you enough wisdom and clarity and real human sensation so that you won't need it anymore. That's what inspiration truly is. That's why I do this all selfishly. That's why I try to inspire people. Because once you're inspired by me, you don't need my help anymore. You don't really need anybody's help. Not to start a project or something. And when you need it, that help turns up. Magically. That is the purpose. I want you to have part of the magic that I have been given. Everything that I have ever needed in the 6-8 years I've been an activist, 10 years nearly, has come out of the fucking blue. Everything. Every time. All I needed to do was ask for it. Do you want to know what that feels like? It feels like this sound. That weight, that pressure, that off. That's what it feels like. Once you realize that, fuck, I don't have to live the way other people are telling me to live. I don't have to do things that they tell me to do. That feeling is incomparable. Other people hate their lives, they hate themselves, but I don't. I may feel unfortunately regretful about a lot of the things that have happened to me along the way. But I don't hate myself, and I don't hate my life, and I don't dread getting up every morning, and I don't have somebody telling me what to do any time of the day or night. All I do is what I feel like doing. And it just turns out, a lot of the time, I feel like helping other people so that they don't have to go through all the really horrific shit that I did in order to produce the things that I have produced. To give them that gift of knowledge and wisdom that comes through fucking traumatic experiences. Listening to the show will be a traumatic experience for you. Unless you're a stone. Unless you don't really listen. Unless you just sit there looking for things that you disagree with. The reason why the show opens you up so much is because it doesn't matter who the fuck you are, you will hear an enormous amount of things that you disagree with and don't like. On each show, there will be something that will get up you a little bit. Just breathe it out. Remain calm. It's just a show.